Today we're going to talk about Chanukah. What's the concept of Chanukah? So the Midrash says that Choshech, in the Pasuk in Bereishis, it says that God was hovering over the Tehom, and the Pasuk there speaks about Choshech. And the Midrash says, when it brings about the four types of Galiot, the Galos, the exile of Greece, is considered Choshech. Why? Choshech is darkness. Shechshichu einehem shel Yisrael b'gzeirotam. That they darken the eyes of Klal Yisrael with their gzeiros. Why the eyes, Dafka? We see that in a different place. We see that by Yaakov Avinu. It says in the Parsha by Yaakov Avinu, so why is Parshas Vayechi Stuma? Why is it there's no gap between Miket and Vayechi? Sorry, Vayigash and Vayechi. And the reason is because, and Rashi brings there, why is it Stuma? Why is it closed? Because that was the beginning of the Golas, the spiritual Golas. V'nistimu einehem v'libam. Rashi says, their eyes and their hearts were closed. So you understand, the Chasam Sofer there explains, this eyes and hearts, the Shibud didn't start to Parsha Shmos. But the spiritual Shibud, the spiritual exile, started already in the death of Yaakov. So now, when we come back here and we see the same Midrash, we understand that these Gzeiros, and we know from the Gzeiros of the Greeks, they don't want to kill the Jewish people physically, right? They want to destroy us spiritually. We say to forget them the Torah, to cause them to forget their Torah. The whole fight was connected to Torah. That's why it's called Choshech. A Jew without Torah, that's a dark life. That's a life without any guidance, a life without any future, without any seeing of the future, without any clarity in the world. Like the Mesirus Yesharim explains, Bokeh is a time of tihara, time of clarity. Tahor is clarity. That's why the Gemara in Brachos, that based on basis, tihara yoma, the day was clear. Tuma, right, is atima, non-clarity. Darkness is non-clarity. So the Mesirus Yesharim says, when it's night, what do we see? You see an amud, you see a pillar, and you think it's a person. When you don't see a proper tzura, you don't see a proper form, you see something which is unclear, you see something which is inanimate, to be alive, a human being, an animal, whatever you see, a rustling, you forget, you think it's something else. That's the Choshech. That's what Choshech represents. Choshech in the world represents a non-clarity of where we're going, non-clarity even where we are, non-clarity of where to go in the next step. We don't know what we're living for. We have a complete unclarity. The only thing that gives us clarity is Torah. And that's basically what the Greeks tried to remove from Klal Yisrael. That's the fight. It's a fight on Torah. So, the Shem Yishmuel explains a very important point here. It says, what's the makor for Chanukah in Chumash? What's the source of Chanukah in the Torah? So, the Shem Yishmuel says that on the 25th of Elul, the world was created. That was the first day of creation of the world. What was created on the first day? Vayehi O, right? Light. What was this light? So Rashi says in Chumash, Rashi says that this light is the O Haganuz, the hidden light which is going to be set aside for Tzadikim Latid Lavo. But it's not fitting for Rishayim to enjoy that light. So, it's known that this is Oro Shel Mashiach, because this is the light which is going to be revealed in the end. And it's also the Or of the Torah. Which Torah? So we're going to see. The Chasam Sofer, the Chatam Sofer, Chasam Sofer, says that this Or is the Or of Mashiach, which is the Or of Kabbalah, the Or of Tepnimi Satera. That's the Or that we need to fight Yavan. Because what does Yavan say? What do the Greeks say? What's the whole of Greek philosophy? Logic, academia, the whole of academia today is based on physics. These are all Greek words. Philosophy, right? Psychology. I mean, these are all concepts. These are all words, Greek words, right? The whole concept of academia, the whole concept of these things, right, in the world, came from the Greek. The Greek concept is how the Western world operates. This is the world of Aesop, this is the world of Edom. The Greek concept didn't stop. The Greeks, I told us, you don't need Brit Mila. Why don't you need Brit Mila? Your body is perfect. Why do you need to fix it? You're perfect as you are. The beauty, Yefet, represents the Shoresh of Greek, is from Yefet. You know this, you know the, how, okay, so you know the Bnei Noach. He had three sons. He had Cham, he had Yefet, and he had Shem. From Shem comes Klal Yisrael, from Yefet came the Greeks. I mean, came other people, the Greeks, as far as we're concerned. So, we know the mice of Noach. Noach, right, drank, and he was uncovered. And Ham went in, and saw his father uncovered. Yeshomrim, he srisoto, that he made it impossible to have another children, because he wanted to be had more children. He would lose out on his Yerusha, whatever the reason, we don't understand. Or, and he therefore, Canaan, was cursed. Eved, there would be an Eved. There would be, since he didn't allow more children to have Noach, to serve Noach, the child serves his son, so therefore, Mida Keneged Mida, he became a servant to the other two sons, and to his father, to the world in other words. Yefet and Shem, they both walked achorani, backwards, and covered their father's erva. They covered his revealed part. So, the Midrash says that Yefet and Shem both were zocher. Were both zocher. To what were they zocher? Yefet was zocher to, was in merited kvura, that his goof wouldn't be in bizayon, wouldn't be left in, how do you say bizayon, in disgrace, because he covered his father. And Shem was zocher to talis, shel mitzvah. And Shem was zocher to tzitzis, to talis shel mitzvah, right? Now, how does that make sense? He was zocher to talis shel mitzvah because it covered. Because a talis covers you, but it's a talis shel mitzvah, because why? Shem, Chazal say, did this mitzvah l'shem shemayim. He did it for the proper intent. Since he did it for the proper intent, he was zocher to something higher than just a covering of his body. Yefet, who did it, the Meiser, but he didn't do it with the proper intent, so he was zocher to an Olam HaMeiser, in the world, in the physical world. He was zocher that his physical body, when it dies, would not be left in Bizayon, not be left disgraceful, and would be covered, would be buried. You with me? So we see that their actions were actions of shaming, of covering, of removing, how you say, removing something which is ugly, which is disgraceful from their father. So both people were given some level of beauty associated with their covering. Shem did it, L'shem Shemayim, was given a beautiful garment of mitzvah, of a talis. He was zocher to tzitzis. Shem, who did it, not L'shem Shemayim, Yefet, who did it, L'shem Shemayim, was zocher that his body would be buried. But still there was a beauty that he wouldn't be disgraced, that his body was decaying away. He wouldn't see the decay of his body. But he was only zocher to the physical aspect of beauty, that he wouldn't have the disgrace of his body. Yefet is a lashon of beauty. Chazal say also that Yefet was zocher to be be'ol Hashem, to dwell in the oil of shame. Aye. And where does this oil of shame come? It comes to the Greeks. Translated, it was a language it was translated the Torah into. It was a terrible thing. That was a terrible thing for the Jewish people. But there was zocher to have, to be somewhat connected to Olei Shem. So how can they be connected and yet we're fighting them? That doesn't make sense. You fight something means you want to get rid of it. How can they be, how can you relate to it if you're fighting it? because of this dichotomy that yet they dwell in Ohalei Shem, and yet we have to fight them and they represent Choshech, how does this make sense? How do we come? And it also makes it very dangerous. You know, Jews in America flourished, and Jews in America assimilated. And we see from Chumash in Parshas Vayishlach, we see that after, you know, the Yaakov Avinu sets up to fight Esav, to give him presents, to daven, and then finally we see that Esav somehow comes to some acceptance of Yaakov. Yes, he rab, and he has a lot. Yes, he call, and Yaakov has what he needs. And then they separate. And then Esav finally tells to Yaakov, come with me. Let's go together. And to Seir, let's go. And Yaakov tells Esav, no. The children, why about the children? The children could be hurt on the way. So Chazal tell us that that's Batid Lavo and the final Golos. Just before we get to Seir, just before we get to Bimot HaMashiach HaSeir, which is finally where Esav and Yaakov meet, that Esav will come to Yaakov and say, I'm opening the doors for you. I'm opening the ghettos out. Come, be like us. Jews left yeshivas. The emancipation, assimilation, the children were lost. We have 70%, 60%, I don't know what the assimilation rate is, I don't know how they count it. They count from Jews, don't count from Jews. Yep. It's terrible. Jews are being lost. Jews are marrying Goyim. Jews are behaving like Goyim. We're losing them. They don't even know what Shema Yisrael is. There's Poles, even in Israel. You know, in Israel, who can't know what a Jew is, right? How many children know what the holidays are about? How many children know Kriyat Shema? How many children know anything about Judaism? Nothing. They're Israelis. Falafel, that's what Jewish is. It's a big problem. So, this is the Milchama of Yavan. Lashkicham Teratecha. So the Bris Mila, we said, then takes the Moed. What Moed it takes away from us? It takes away Rosh Chodesh. Why Moed Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is the first mitzvah that the Jewish people as a whole were commanded on. And it's a mitzvah in which we participate in how which day we call Rosh Chodesh. Why? Why is that the first mitzvah? That's the first mitzvah because it shows Klal Yisrael's participation in the world. We're like the moon. We're the ones who radiate the sun. And we participate in bringing that radiation in the world of the sun.
Kivyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, it's also related to the idea that we have different conceptions of time than the Greeks do.
Yes.
If we would have gotten rid of our Rosh Chodesh in the calendar, we would see the world through their lens.
That's right. That's also a point. That they go, they probably went through the sun, right? Yeah, like the you know, the pagans go through the sun because it's, you know, and the constellations because they worship that's their Avodah Zarah. Our involvement is with the sun and the moon. It's basically the moon months and the sun as a cycle of the year. That's why you have leap months. You're right. So it's a change in time. But the change in time is not only just a change in time that we go by then. Why we have this? Because we're involved. The sun is something which is constant. So if you go by the solar months, that means it's a fixed thing. If you go by the lunar months, which day is Rosh Chodesh, is dependent on Beis Din. It's dependent on do we make a leap year, do we not make a leap year, it's dependent on Beis Din. So basically, we're involved in our times, we're involved in fixing the Moadim, we're involved in fixing the dates of things, i.e. that shows the Klal Yisrael are involved in bringing the Moadim. What's a Moadim? That's God's time, that God's is closer to the world, so to speak. We're involved in bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. So that's the concept of Zman, that's the concept of time. We're involved in the time of the world, we're part of that time. You understand? Whereas if you're solar, everything's fixed. Everything happens independently. We don't need, there's no involvement with something higher. You with me?
I mean, it's sort of if we hold to their view of the sun, it's a type of determinism.
Yeah.
It's a rejection of our notion of free will.
Yeah. To determine, that's right, that's what also, yeah, very good. So now, that's one thing. They also took away Shabbat. It's the Sabbath they took away from us. Don't keep, why? Because that's We live our week for Shabbat. Shabbat is Olam Haba. That concept, the week, the 6 days of work comes to an end. A Shvita. That's the concept that we live for. We live for that concept. Me'ein Olam Haba. We live for 6,000 years. The 7,000 years is ended. And like we say, when we explain with the Ramchal, that has to be. Because if you don't hold there's an end to the world, that means then the Ra in the world cannot become to Tov. If the Ra in the world can be, if the bad in the world is something which is for a moment, then there has to be a time period when that Ra is seen, its Shara, seen its source, which is good. But if the world is for eternity, then there will never be a time that we'll see that Ra to be good. I mean, we're not talking about the Ra of an individual, that could be when he's Nifta, he sees that, because he gets. But we're talking about the world as a whole. Just as the world is judged as an individual, the world and people to judge as a whole. So as a whole people, there has to be a period of time for the peoples of the world to finish. So we'll see all that Ra, that all that bad, we'll see the source, which is good. So if you don't believe that there's an end, there's a Shabbos to the world, there's a Shabbos to the 6 days, there's a purpose for those 6 days of work, then you don't. Then there's no connection, and the Ra in the world is intrinsic, and the good in the world is intrinsic. The Shtei Rishuyot, you believe in two deities, or you could believe that the world doesn't have any concept of connection, which is what the Greeks believed. So it's all idol worship, right? That evil has dominion and good has dominion, whatever good means, right? Or maybe they don't believe even there's such a concept of good. Or they can believe that there's no connection to God, to the world, which is what the Greeks believed. So now we understand Shabbos, and we understand why Shabbos is intrinsic for the Jewish people. It's the pinnacle. Then they were gozer on anyone who got married would have to be with the Agmon Tchila. You'd have to be first with the chief. Any girl who got married. Why is that? Because Chazal say that when a person gets married, that the person that the woman consecrates the marriage with makes her into a vessel. What do you mean makes her into a vessel? Forms a bond with her, because he's the one who made into the vessel. Whatever it means, it's a very, very deep chazal. I'm not going to go into it, but a lot spoken about that chazal. It means that the bond and the kedusha of Klal Yisrael is very independent of the first time. So they wanted to have someone else do the first time, because it's brought down in Sfarim HaKadoshim that the children that are formed from a person, that's the vessel that you create the first time. So if Chas V'Shalom, the Agmon was Tchila, some Greek, that he were, this happened, the whole Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, the whole purity of Klal Yisrael, all the children would have been born from some impurity, would have been mixed with this impurity.
Because the woman is it's not a pure Kli.
It's not a pure Kli. It's a Kli that was Nitma, a Kli that was a vessel that was improperly used, so it became a broken vessel. So anything that came from that afterwards would be shivrei kelim, would be broken vessels, would be shaykh to also impurity. There wouldn't be the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. He wanted to be poger, but the yuchsin, the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. So that was also you can understand that was also a form of killing Klal Yisrael. We know nowadays that. We know what happens in the world. That's a big problem. Yeah. Problem for the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. At Gerekach, there's Rabbanim who say you have to make a separate Sifra Yuchsin. So now we have to go and write down who our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. We know where we're all coming from. We have Sifra Yuchsin. We have who we are from. You with me? We know very clearly. So let's go back to the Shem Yishmor. So this Or HaGanuz, this Or, which is revealed on the first day of creation, the spiritual ore, which represents the ore of Torah, the ore of Torah Shebal Peh, Pnimius HaTorah, the Torah of Kabbalah, as the Chasam Sofer explains. This ore, says the Shem Mishmur, if we count 3 months after the 25th of Elul, 25th of Tishri, 25th of Kislev, 25th of Cheshvan, 25th of Kislev, i.e. 3 months after is Hanukkah, says the Shem Mishmur, when we have a 3 month cycle, just as you have a woman that after 3 months of the conception of the child, 3 months later, it's called Hukah Ha'uba, the child is recognized in the world, he's seen in the world, he has some sort of presence in the world. So too says the Shem Mishmur, the Or HaGanuz also has some level of recognition in the world. And this happens on Kaf Hei Kislev, i.e. Hanukkah is a time of the revelation of the Or HaGanuz to some extent. And that's the Gilui, says the Chasam Sofer, of Teres HaKabbalah. The revelation of Teres HaKabbalah. This Or HaGanuz, this hidden light, like we said before, is a light which was set aside for Tzadikim Lati Lavo, i.e. the Torah of the Tzadikim in the world to come. I.e. Teres HaKabbalah is the Torah, Pnimius HaTorah, is the Torah that, you know, there's a slach in Tzachim that says, we learn it now in this world, Teres HaKabbalah. This is like this, and this is like this, and this is like this. So when we go to Shamayim, at 100, you know, at Me'ev Esrim, 120, and we'll see the Shvilim of Shemayim, we'll understand what we learned. Then we'll put it, you know, oh, this shows this, this means this, this means this, we'll understand, you know. Like someone describing you something that you don't really understand, but when you go there, you'll understand what you're understanding. That's why this is the Or HaGanuz. Why is this the Torah that has to fight the Greeks? Why? Greek thought is what there is. That's what there is. We use logic, we measure, we understand, we philosophize with logic and with thought and with reason. And we come to conclusions through that reason. What we don't see is not what there is. Teres HaKabbalah is basically telling you what you see is not what there is. What you see is just an emanation of something much more pnimi. That's why Chochmas HaGoyim, Chochma B'Goyim Tamin, in the Lashon of Chazal, is called Chochmas Chitzonius. It's called wisdom, but it's the outer wisdom. Teres HaKabbalah is called Teres HaPnimius. It's called the inner wisdom. The wisdom that you don't see, the understanding behind the Chochmas Chitzonius. The way you fight the Greek thought, but what you see in the world is what there is. What you don't see might not necessarily exist. What you can't reason through logic is not something you can exist. That's what Teres HaKabbalah fights. It gives reason to the outer wisdom. And then the Greek wisdom gets its understanding. Chochmas HaChitzonis, the outer wisdom, gets its plenius, gets its understanding from Teres HaKabbalah, i.e. from Teres Hashem, that it then makes sense. We understand, you know, in psychology, for example, maybe they'll talk about a person has a yearning, right, to be proactive, to produce, to why? So we'll understand why. Because we understand why God created the world, for that reason, to express himself in the world. And therefore that's the tachlis of the creation. God is what created the world. Why unity? Because God is one. So that's why we look for simplicity and we look for unity. When we understand the source of things, you understand why man is that way. There's an inner reasoning, there's an inner tachlis, and man's seeking that inner tachlis, that inner purpose. But without understanding the reasons behind man's endeavors, man is a closed box. You might know information about him. You might know information about the physics of the world. But you don't understand why until you unravel a deeper level. Even, you know, in physics today, the concept of the uncertainty, right? There's the concept of an observer, right? The observer doesn't make sense in physics. He's outside the system. The only way he makes sense is you have a concept of consciousness measuring physicality. Consciousness, by definition, is outside the system. That's a concept of spiritual. So without an understanding of the spiritual world, the physical world is incomplete. It's ununderstood. It's ununderstood man's drives, man's urges, man's, that a man can kill himself for the sake of another person, for a purpose he can give his life up to. That doesn't make sense according to psychology. Why should a person give his life for someone else? If all there is just life here, that's a non-goer. That's a nonsensical thing. Maybe you could, if the person's ill, or you can explain different things, I don't know. Or you can think he has an imagination of worlds to come. But why does man create other worlds? Why does he do that? Why does he think of higher spiritual things? Why? Animals don't. If man's just a big animal, why does man think that way? A cow's quite happy with his fodder. We're not. You can have as many schnitzels in life. You know what? Doesn't help. You still have the existential crisis. Man's still looking for more. There's a dichotomy. Man knows he's going to die, and yet he feels he's living forever. Why is that? Because he does live forever. His soul lives forever. That's why there's no fear of death. We're not worried about it. We're not thinking about it the whole time.
It's a thought.
Of course, it's a thought, because we're running out of time to do what we're here for, but not that we're like tomorrow, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a very short period of time we live for. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get on in life, like when you're young. So what's it called? You have a lot of time left. But look, let's think about it. Till 50, 60, 70, right? From 60, say, on, like nowadays, you have to worry about your heart, you have to worry about a lot of things, probably from 50 years old. And who knows what diseases they're going to come up with in the next few years, right? And what they're going to be able to save us on and what they're not going to be able to save us from. There's so many mind diseases they don't have clues about, right? They just keep us going. So how much life you have, like, normal, that you're strong and things? 50 years, right? Like the Levim, from 20 to 50, Bekoach, right? They have strength to carry the Masa'ot, right? 30 years of your life, you're like, you're big enough to be independent, and you're strong enough to do your own things. That's like 30 years of your life. That's it. That's not a lot of time. It doesn't make sense to be an Oved Hashem for 30 years. It doesn't make sense that all these people were created for that period of time. After 50, it's downhill a little bit, okay? Unless, you're a rabbi or something like that, then it's uphill. Yeah? Right? But in terms of the workforce in the world, Western world, you're downhill after 50. 60, no one talks about. Right? 65, you're a man, forget it. Who's interested in you? We're just, we're worried about paying off our pensioners. It's a different look at. How long are you here for? How long are you actually doing anything? You're thinking. And most of those 20, those teen years, you never worked out your life. It doesn't make sense. Life doesn't make sense that we are created with all these, desires and thoughts in such a short period of time. It doesn't make sense. That when a person thinks about his life, life has to have something longer. He doesn't think that way. He doesn't believe he's only here for these 30 years, right? And most people till 40 can have fun. So, 20 years of having fun, that's it. So you just eat pizzas for 20 years, or schnitzels for 20 years, what big deal. And after 20, 40, it's downhill anyway, right? The hair goes wide, or falls out, right? Don't know which is better. they forget about it. Middle-aged depression at 50, what are they living for? What are they doing with their lives? Now they have the car and the house, now what are they going to buy? Doesn't make sense. The world doesn't make sense unless it has something more deep, something more inner. That's what we're fighting Greek. The Greek concept is reason. What reason brings, that's what there is. We're saying, no, there's something inner, something deeper that makes all of this make sense. That's the fight of Hanukkah. That's the fight of the Maccabim. That's the fight of the Kohen God. Why dafka the Kohen? Why dafka the Kohanim? It's Memlechet Kohanim. Right? We're Memlechet Kohanim. Why are we called Memlechet Kohanim? It's the fight here of the Malchus of Kohanim, not the Malchus of David. Why Kohanim Davka? Because we understand, the Gemara says, the Kohanim Shluchei Derachmano Shluchei Didan. Right? Either Shuchi Lidah, Shuchi Lerachmona, but they're both the Maisa. They're both the Maisa. The Kohanim are those who are the in-between us and our Creator. They're the people who bring the spirituality into the physical world. They're the ones who show that the physical is connected to the spiritual. I connect the Chochmah Chitzonis with the, which is the physical Chochmah, to the spiritual Chochmah, which is Teres Asad, right? Which is Teres HaKabbalah, right? You understand what I'm saying? That's why they were the ones to fight the Greeks. And they were the ones, the Ma'atim, this I heard from Moshe, the Ma'atim, what's the Ma'atim? Et Marubim. The Ma'atim, so Moshe heard this week, he says, that the Ma'atim doesn't mean that they were small, mitzad the nes, that a few fought the many. He says, the Loshon Rav, Esav is Rav, Esav has everything, has a lot. It's Loshon Gaivarash, he says. It's a Loshon of period, of separation. You see the world as Rav. There's lots of things happening in the world. Yaakov, Yeshti Kol, Yaakov sees all that he has is sufficient for him. Right? It's one. He sees the unity of things. The Ma'atim et Amarubim is, you see this whole world, all its facets, all its different chokhmahs, there's one explanation. It's all these things are connected to unity. All these things are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaTahorim et HaTmeim. Tahorim is clarity. Taim is Atima. The world is disconnected from the higher world. We say, no, it's connected, and there's a clarity that the higher world brings to understanding the lower world. Yeah?
What is the clarity of the upper world?
Yeah, that's the clarity. When we see, when the clarity also comes from the awe of Torah, that's the awe of Hanukkah. That's why it's a menorah, that's why the nes was the menorah. What the menorah represents? The menorah represents the awe of Torah, the light of Torah. What type of light? The Gemara says that they started off lighting with the Neh HaMa'aravi, with the Western light. And when they came to relight, all the other lights were extinguished. And the Neh HaMa'aravi, right, who they began to light with it, i.e. they put the same oil as the other lights, and it started lighting it first, when they came it was still lighting. The Gemara says that was a nace. Every day in the Beis HaMikdash, that was a nace. The Neh HaMa'aravi lit longer, right? And it's a sign that Shechina is Sharui B'Klal Yisrael. The Shechina is in Klal Yisrael. The divine presence. What divine presence? The aura of Mashiach, the aura of the Torah of Mashiach. That light is the divine presence is with Klal Yisrael. I will connect this physical world, which the menorah represents. It's seven branches of the physical world. Seven is a physical concept, right? It's all connected. Those six branches are connected, looking in the Neh HaMa'aravi. Because that's what Gemara says, they're all pone, the Neh HaMa'aravi. They're all faced Neh HaMa'aravi, the Western light. Why? Because there, the physical is only a connector to the spiritual, to the divine presence. That's what the menorah represents. And that's why Dafka the Nes was done with the menorah. Dafka the Nes was done with the menorah for 8 days, like the Maharal says, because 8 days is one more than seven, one more than the physical, right? 8 days long the Nes was, and that's also a Nes of Shechina, Sharui B'Klal Yisrael, the Shechina, divine presence. That's why it lasted longer, like the Neh HaMa'aravi lasted a little longer, right? To represent the divine presence of B'Klal Yisrael. And that's the Nes of Hanukkah. The Nes of Hanukkah. And that's why every single Jew, doesn't matter how far he is, everyone keeps Hanukkah. And Yaakov Avinu, when he went for the Pachim Aktanim, Chazal tell us, the Pachim Aktanim, which is all, these Pachim Aktanim, which is the Shemen of Hanukkah, these Pachim Aktanim, he went back for them, and brought them back. And then he fought Sarah Shel Esav. And Chazal tell us, Sarah Shel Esav, he was Benaga B'Kaf Yerecho Shel Yaakov. Right? So this I heard. Moshe also said it, the shame Rove Chaim Sonnenfeld, that V'Yaga, right? That's the Gematria Chanukah. So Chanukah is Gematria 89. V'Yiga B'Kaf Yerecho, V'Yiga is also 89. And this, it's explained that the Sarah Shel Esav, hit the raglaim of Yaakov. It means the raglaim is that which is ma'amid a person, which a person stands up on. So that's why we have the shlosha regalim. We have three. We have the three regalim, the Torah regalim. That's keneged Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yeah. Avraham is Pesach. It's Chesed. The world comes into fruition. Shavuos is Yitzchak. Elo Shul Yitzchak. The Torah brings this. It's Din. And Sukkos is Yaakov. Yeshiva Sukkot. Okay, it has to be understood that. And then we have the three festivals, the Rabbanan, which is Chanukah, Purim, and Tisha B'Av. Chanukah is connected hard. Purim, that's why it says Lehodot. Chanukah is Lehodot. Purim is connected Netzach, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The Gilu Moshe Rabbeinu, Teresh Baal Peh Moshe Rabbeinu. Tisha B'Av is connected Yisod, right? It's foundation, is Yisod, right? So now, I'm not going to explain. The Rav Chaim Zonnenfeld also explains. Kaf Yerecho is Gematria Purim. And Vayiga, Bekaf. No, Bekaf Yerecho, 1 second. And Tisha B'Av, he says, that's connected. The Zohar says Tisha B'Av is Gidan Osha. Why Gidan Osha? Gidan Osha, right, is the connector. A Gid is something which connects. That thing which is the Beis HaMikdash, which connects us to our Creator, that's the Gid HaNoshe. That's the Gid that connects us to our Creator that we've lost. So Tisha B'Av Batid Lavo will be that future festival that we'll all celebrate, will connect us, that Gid HaNoshe, which will connect us to our Creator. When Yaakov went back for those Pachim Ketanim, then the Sarah Shel Esav caused him to limp, i.e., the raglaim, the legs which we stand on, we're limping. Chazal enacted those three festivals to give us ma'amad, to give us a stand neged Esav. This is the final fight of Esav before the goddess. And Yaakov Avinu brought these pachim ktanim, which Chazal tells us is keneged Chanukah, and we learn a very, very important thing. There's a lot more to say on Chanukah. We don't have the time now. But just a simple thing. We said before that even the furthest of people keep Chanukah. It's a simple mitzvah, like Chanukah lights, right? You know, comes out at the time, it's also 25th of December, right? The certain day, right? They also picked the 25th, right? Right? There's a reason. The lights of Chanukah are there to light to the lowest place, to bring back even Talmudoy. Acha tichla regel ma'ashuk. Loshen of tichla is loshen of kilui, a lot of burning, until it burns the ra. That's the koach of Yosef. Until it burns the ra in the world and brings it back to tshuva. And Tosis in Yivam says that these Talmudoy that came, these were people who brought down the wood. They used to sell the wood. The Psule Kahal, even the Psule Kahal, Chanukah brings back. Even the people who are the most pushed away from Klal Yisrael get brought back with the Chanukah lights. It means Chanukah, that light, is to find that Pach Shemin inside every Jew that has the Chotim of the Kohen Gadol, that has the seal of the Kohen Gadol, and bring that Jew back home. Bring him with the awe of Chanukah, with the lighting of Chanukah. That lighting of Chanukah still keeps him Jewish, still keeps him different. And that brings him back, eventually, B'zal Hashem, to Klal Yisrael.